Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Let's pray before we open the word. God, I thank you that you know where we are on our journey. God, sometimes we hit difficult seasons of life, but God, you still have a promise. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. And God, as we look at your word today, God, let us see your faithfulness in this season. God, let us see your faithfulness in every season. But God, I thank you for what you're saying right now. Thank you, God, for what you're saying today. God, let us hear something that brings life and brings strength. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. At the beginning of this year, God gave us this incredible word about it's time. It is time to walk in your dreams. It is time to live on purpose and live in your purpose. It's not time to delay. It's not time to procrastinate. But the time is now. Look at somebody and say, the time is now. Somebody say the word for the year. It's time. And I hope that you know this word. You're believing it today. It's time. But I need to caution you about something today. With every word, there will be a word. With every word, there's going to be a war. There will be a war over every word that God gives you. Sometimes we just celebrate when we hear a word. Oh God, thank you. That's so wonderful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we're not thinking about preparing for the battle that's ahead. I want to tell you that with every word, there is a war. So we have to prepare for battle. Even before you get out of January and you get this great word, God is saying it's time to pursue your dream, and God is going to help you and allow you to live your dream. But before you even get out of January, the enemy is warring your word. Because he's not just going to allow you to just walk in and breeze in and walk into the thing that God has called you to do. It's going to be a fight. So right now there's a war over your word. There's a war over the word that God has given us as a church. There's a word that the war that God over the word that God has given you personally. Yes, his word never fails. His word never returns void. His word always comes to pass, but you have to war for it. You have to fight for the word. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit today. So I want you to say this with me. It's time to war. It's time to war. I hope you get this in your spirit today, because this is an important thing if you want to walk into your dream. If you're saying, it's time for me to walk in the dream that God has given me. That thing that I've been praying for, that thing that I've been believing for, that thing that I've been trying to figure out how to get to that next level so that I can possess what God has told me. You're going to have to fight for it. So there's always a war over the word. We can look back even in Genesis. We see God gave a word to Adam, and immediately the enemy begins to battle it. Immediately the enemy comes against that word. From the moment God begins to open his mouth, we can see there's power in his words. He begins to create, he begins to modify, he instructs, he corrects, he rebukes, he blesses, he curses. God's word has real weight. But that's not all. Not only does God's word have weight, your word has weight as well. Because the Bible tells us that we were created in the image of God and the likeness of God. So when I open my mouth and I speak words, my words carry weight as well. So God's words are powerful, and our words are powerful. Look at this, Genesis 2:19. It says, now the Lord had formed out of the ground all of the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. He was waiting for the man to open his mouth to practice his power that God had given him. Now, I'm going to bring you these animals. Now you open your mouth and you speak a word over these animals. And then it says, Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. God's word has power, and your word has power. Now, here's the thing. The devil doesn't have power like that. So what he does is he tries to slip in and manipulate and confuse your understanding of God's word. So he needs to try to borrow power from either a misunderstanding of God's word or getting you to say the wrong thing. The devil comes in, and that's exactly what happens a little bit later in the story. In Genesis, is the devil realizes he doesn't have power. God has the power, and he's given power to man. And so he slips in, and he begins to try to confuse. It was very clear what God said. God said, be fruitful, multiply, right? Subdue, overtake, right? And then he says, but you can have all the trees except for this one tree. It was very clear. Now then the enemy comes in and he tries to manipulate and he tries to confuse Adam about what God had said. Let me tell you something. Before you're even out of the month of January, the enemy's going to try to confuse you about what God has said about this year. God has said it's time. The enemy said, well, you know, time is kind of relative. You know, if you think about it, you know, the timing is everything. And sometimes there's a time, there's a right time for everything. And no, God is saying it's time. You need to tell the devil to shut up because it's your time. So what happens in this story in Genesis, the devil slips in. He begins to say, well, did God really say that? You know, because actually you're not going to really die if you eat the fruit. It's kind of going to be like this and like that. It's not exactly what God said it was. So he tries to manipulate and twist what God has said, tries to twist God's word, and then tries to get you to make some negative and wrong confessions. If he can get you to make some wrong confessions early on in the year, he knows he's going to have some negative momentum in your life. Because God said, it's time. But if he can get you saying, well, I'm not sure if God is really saying, you know, it's time, about everything. No, God is saying it's time. And so we have to war over our word. Just as soon as God speaks, anytime God speaks, there's going to be a war over that word. Get ready for it. The bigger the word, the bigger the... You guessed it. The bigger the word, the bigger the war. So, yes, when somebody gives me a word, when I hear a word from God, yes, I'm half celebrating, but I'm also half preparing for battle. Because I know what's coming. I know what's coming tomorrow is the battle over that word. I know in the parking lot what's coming. The battle over that word. Pastor Corinne, she said on Monday, she said, oh man, I said, you know what it was? That's the battle over the word you gave Sunday. That's the battle over the word you gave Sunday. There's always a battle over the word. There's always a war over the word that God gives you. So the word of God that he gave us for this year is it's time. So the enemy wants to come and sow doubt. He wants to try to get you to make a few negative confessions early on, but God is saying no. No more delay. It's time. It's not time to procrastinate. It's not time to listen to the devil. It's time to move into your purpose, to live on purpose. Here's the great news. In Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon turned against you will succeed, and you will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These are the benefits enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. So here's the thing. How many people have ever been at a place where people were talking and accusing you and saying negative things about you? The word of God said he's going to silence all that in your life. And anytime an enemy comes and forms some type of opposition to you, it says, the Lord, it's not going to prosper. These are the benefits. There's benefits. There's a benefit package when you come to Christ. When you are in Christ, when you serve the Lord, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Sometimes we misquote and we misunderstand this passage because we get out doing our own thing and then we still want to quote, no weapon formed against me will prosper. It said, no, no, no. That's a benefit that belongs to somebody who serves the Lord. When you serve the Lord, the benefit package includes no weapon formed against you will prosper. And anybody who talks some smack about you is going to be silenced. These are the benefits of those who serve the Lord. So as long as I'm lining up with God, I know I'm going to win. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So what I need to do is stay in Christ Jesus. What I need to do is make sure I'm staying serving the Lord, because when I serve the Lord, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against my destiny will prosper. No weapon formed against the things that God has called me to do is going to prosper, because I'm serving the Lord. The benefits of serving the Lord is the Lord will fight with you against any and every enemy that comes against you. That leads us back to you're undefeated. If God is fighting for you, Scripture says, who can be against you? Which doesn't mean that nobody's against you. It just means, like, who is that? If God is fighting for you, who is that? It doesn't matter. Because God is fighting for you. You're more than a conqueror. God has said that I'm going to make you undefeated when I'm walking with you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. So I realize I am destined to win as long as I'm serving the Lord. I'm destined to win as long as I'm in Christ. I'm guaranteed success. That's the benefit when I serve the Lord. I'll prosper when I serve the Lord. I will overcome because I serve the Lord. I'll have strength and guidance to win because I serve the Lord. These are the benefits. The enemy will use weapons. Just because you serve the Lord does not mean the enemy's not going to come against you. How many people, the devil's come against you this month or last month, and you really felt there was some stuff being thrown at you in your life? The promise doesn't say that there will not be a weapon formed, or that you will not have a battle, or you will not have an enemy. It says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Doesn't mean they won't line up on the battlefield. That doesn't mean that they won't look daunting. It doesn't mean that you won't even have to pick up a weapon in battle. It says that they won't win. It won't work. You know, if you want to be more than a conqueror, that means that you have to actually conquer. See, some people, some Christians, they're afraid to fight. How are you going to win if you never get in the fight? I realized this early on. I said, God, why did you have my parents name me Joshua? Because you were born to fight. You were born to take territory. You were born to challenge the enemy. You were born to dispossess the devil. And so you realize we were born to do battle against the enemy. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready to fight. Look at somebody else and say, it's time to war. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. And this is what David said in Psalm 144, 1 and 2. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look how he transitions so seamlessly from this. Praise the Lord, who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm here on Sunday. And I thank God because he made me a warrior. I thank God because he gave me skill in my fingers for battle. I'm not weak because I worship. I'm strong because I worship. Because while I'm in worship, God makes me prepared for battle. As I got my hands lifted, he's training my fingers for war. As I worship the Lord, I'm finding new battle skills. Oh, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war. And my fingers, he gives them skill for battle. I love this because, see this? David was a man after God's own heart, not just because he knew how to worship, but also because he knew how to battle. He knew how to go to war. And he said, actually, I not only go to war, God trains me for war. God prepares me for battle. God trains me how to war. He says, it's not that I'm just warring and God sent me into battle or I like to go into battle. No, God sent me into battle and he prepared my hands for war and my fingers. He made skillful in battle. God wants to teach you how to battle. God wants to teach you how to battle. Some of your time spent in the presence of God, you know what? Is hallelujah, God, Father, I thank you. And then other times, it's God giving you the strategy to win. God giving you the strategy to battle. It's not all this. I'm not saying that there isn't moments, because there is definitely moments when you're weeping and you're on your knees and you're on your face. But then there's some moments when God told Joshua, get off your face and go do the job that I told you to do. He told Joshua, right, when the son of Achan, he said, get off the ground. Why are you crying? There's sin in the camp. Go deal with it. Stop crying. Get up and do what I told you to do. And there is moments in God's presence when he trains our hands for war. Part of the time that we're worshiping, God wants to train us to do battle. So I realize my prayer life is a conversation with God. Yes, I'm having moments when I'm asking for God's mercy and I'm asking for forgiveness and I'm asking for grace. But then also I'm asking for permission and strategy to defeat the devil. God, give me permission to take more ground from the devil. God, give me permission to take more ground from the enemy. God, give me strategy to take the promises that you have promised me. Just because God gave you a word does not mean it's going to be easy. Just because God gave you a word does not mean there is not fighting required. I hope more Christians understood this. I think there's some people in the room right now that do understand this. Just because God said it does not mean it's going to be easy. There is fighting required. Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and courageous. This is what God said to Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Now, if you were to read this out of context, just like if you were to take the word of God out of context, it could read to you, you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors to give them. But actually, God said on either side of this, he said, be strong and courageous. Why do you need to be strong and courageous if it's just going to be handed to you? If you're just going to walk in and say, oh, okay, you know what? We were thinking about moving out of town anyways. Just go ahead and take these vineyards and you can take these houses and we're going to just give them to you. He said, no, I will need you to be strong and courageous. Oh, and by the way, be strong and very courageous. And did I say it to you before? You know, you need to be strong and courageous, because you got to be strong and courageous if you're going to dispossess the enemy of what belongs to you. God already said it, and that settles it. It belongs to you. But you're going to need to be strong, forceful even, and courageous to dispossess the enemy of what belongs to you. You're going to have to fight for your word. Look at somebody saying, I am required to fight. Look at somebody else and tell them, you are required to fight. You better believe it. If you want to possess, you're going to have to fight. If you want this word, it's time. You're going to have to fight. God said to Joshua at one point in Joshua 1, he said, have I not already said? Have I not already given you the word? Be strong and courageous. Get out there and do something about it. This is the year to get out there and do something about it. This is the year to get out there and do something about the dream God has given you. This is the year to get out there and do what God has placed in your heart and God has placed in your mind. You need to get out there and take action. It's time. It's time. It's time. Most words will require an eviction process. Oh, thank you, God. I'm moving into the promised land. Guess what? You got to evict the devil off of your promise. You got to evict the devil off of your dream, because it's got to be a fight. It's going to be a war over your word, over your promise. It's time. It's time. to evict it. Devil, it's time for you to get out of my way. It's time for you to get off of my dream. It's time for you to get off of my stuff. Get removed from around my vision. I am required to fight. I don't know about you, but I'm serving the devil notice this year. It's time. It's time to get off my stuff. It's time to get off of my purpose, because God is saying it's time. And just like Joshua got a word, but he had to fight for it. He got land, but he had to fight for it. He got vineyards, but he had to fight for it. He got treasures, but he had to fight for it. Battle after battle until you win the war. Battle after battle until you possess the whole promise. Battle after battle until you possess the whole word. It's time to war. It's time to war. And this is what God said to Joshua, and he made clear. He said, I'm not going to give you the whole promised land, because I need the generations coming up after you also to know how to battle. I'm not going to release it all at one time, because I need them to know how to war. If you want this word, you're going to have to war for it. If you want God to blow the doors off and open windows of heaven and give you miracles like you've never seen before, and you walk in your purpose like never before, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight like never before, because the stakes are bigger than before. The promise is bigger than before. The word is bigger than before. So the war is bigger than before. And it's time to drive our heels in and say, devil, I'm not going anywhere. This is mine. You got to leave. You got to go. This is my promise, and I am prepared to fight for it. When Joshua showed up with the children of Israel, they didn't say, oh, we're willing to negotiate. You could not reason with Joshua and the children of Israel. Actually, when they first got in, they tried to do that one time with Moab, and God corrected them and said, don't do that anymore. That everybody's got to go. You got to evict the enemy off of your stuff. Joshua heard the word of the Lord, and he would not listen to the rationalization of the enemy. When that snake came in there, into Joshua's garden, he said, nope. This is what God said. I'm standing on the promises of God. This is my promised land. It's time. It's time. Some of you have had a difficult start to 2022. Listen, let's be honest. Some of you, 2021, you were thinking that 2022, it's like, I'm ready. This is going to be a piece of cake. 2022 is going to be easier. There's a bigger promise and there's a bigger battle. There's a bigger word and there's a bigger war. But I want to tell you today, it's not where you start. It's how you finish. It's not how you start. Yeah, it's great to get a good start. Don't get me wrong. If you can get out of the blocks quick and be strong, and that's great. But it's more important how you finish. How you finish, how you finish, how you finish, how you go across the finish line. If your 2022 has been rough so far, and I know some of you in this room, it has been rough. Some of you 2021, you're still trying to shake the fog off you from that. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. It's how you fight with tenacity over the word that God has spoken over your life. It's if you can dig your heels in and fight for what God is saying. God has called you to be more than a conqueror. God has said that no weapon formed against you will prosper. God wants you to fight over this word. And God has said, if you stay with me, you will be undefeated. I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to be beside you. God wants to do something And I want to tell you, before we close, I want you to stand with me, because there's something when we stand in faith and declare the word of the Lord. So many times we have a position in life and we just take it sitting down. You get hit and you sit down and you stay seated. You get hit and you fall on your butt and you stay on your butt. You fall down and you say, you know what, I'm just going to stay in a place where I won't get knocked down again. That's not how you fight. Actually, God said a righteous person is not somebody that ever falls down. It's somebody that falls down but knows how to get back up again. Somebody that has resilience. Somebody that knows how to stand on the word of God. Somebody that knows how to take a shot and get back up. I want to remind you today that it is your time. And we're going to make this declaration today. Will you make this declaration with me today? How many believe that God has things that are greater for you in 2022? How many believe that it's your time? I want you to say this. God, I receive what you're saying over me. I stand in faith and say, lack is gone. Delay is gone. Fear is gone. Those things that have stopped my purpose are removed now. I receive the promises, the prophecies, and the power of God. It's time. There will be no more delay. No delay in my relationships. No delay in my health. No delay in my family. No delay in my finances. No delay in my purpose. God is making a way for me in impossible situations. God is doing a new thing. I'm making God the priority. I'm ready for greater. I can see the vision. I will write the vision and make it plain. I will run with the vision. I have the fire and the focus of the Holy Spirit. I'm ready to forcefully advance. I'm not looking at my past. I'm not looking at my failures. I'm not defined by what others say or think. I will not be defined by what others have done. I will not make excuses. I know the word will not come without a fight. So I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to win. I'm ready to war over the word. It's time. Say it loud. It's time. It's time. It's time. Somebody shout amen. Come on, somebody shout it out today if you believe that God has given you victory, that God has said that you are going to win no matter what the devil throws at you. It's your time. It's your time. Come on, give about five people a high five and tell them, it's my time. It's my time.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.